We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's Wednesday, March 23rd. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart U, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We're here to talk about quarterbacks. All-time quarterback movement in the National Football League. Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan, the quarterback not to be named, possibly Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo. They're all being moved in. Also, one of our favorite topics, our favorite humans in the National Football League. For a very short time, Urban Meyer came out in the article about Urban Meyer. We'll talk about him and everything else to do with football. Gabe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. I thought I was going to enjoy a whole weekend of watching the tournament. And then instead, the NFL decided we got some stuff. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, St. Peter's. We got to talk about some other stuff. Time to talk about Deshaun.
Does anyone know where Jersey City is yet? Does anyone have any idea?
Jersey City? People know where Jersey City is. People did not know St. Peter's is from Jersey City.
I still don't think people know where Jersey City is. I was there for a couple of years. I still don't even know where Jersey City
is. Bro, you played for the Giants.
No, I know where it is. Come on, you're ruining the joke. I know where Jersey City is. But nonetheless, yes, the Peacocks are in the Sweet 16. It's been fun, some fun basketball so far. Feels like it's really up in the air, right? We've had a lot of upsets so far. But the favorites are still there with Gonzaga and Arizona. But let's get back to football, Gabe. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think we have to start with Deshaun Watson. And that's because the point of this show, since we conceived of it, and what you've done best on this show, I think, Jeff, is sort of helping casual fans differentiate between the hot takes and crazy things that people tend to say, even the people we like, but they get thrown out there without a lot of knowledge of how the game really works. And then you come in here and correct the record. And I see a lot of that sort of starting to happen with Deshaun Watson, right? So we heard the news over the weekend. He was traded to the Browns and then signed for this record-setting deal, $230 million guaranteed, with this very, very Deshaun-friendly year one of the contract, basically $1 million for year one, which pretty much means even if he's suspended, he won't lose much money. All of it felt a lot of icky emotions for a lot of fans. But then the takes started flying, Jeff, and I think we need to break them all apart, and you need to tell us what's really going on here, especially around that contract.
Well, I think the takes have been actually pretty good. We're going to see the show. Yes, Deshaun Watson was out. He told the Browns no, and then according to the reports, there was a good article, I think today or yesterday, on The Athletic explaining this. He liked the Browns as far as, you know, the personnel and the meeting they had, but, you know, cold weather, it kind of didn't match what he wanted as far as lifestyle of where to live. He told him no, all right? they kept talking, general manager Andrew Berry and his agent kept talking, and eventually they're like, we're going to give you this amount of money, which ended up being $230 million guaranteed, the highest contract guaranteed money NFL history by $80 million. Like, it's not even close. We're going to guarantee it all to you. And then he changed his mind, right? Money talks in the end. The other suitors, I think Atlanta was number one. I think that felt very, I felt like he was going to Atlanta. New Orleans was probably number two, right? There was a hometown appeal of Atlanta. Carolina was pretty much out immediately, it felt like. And the Texans said no to the Colts, which makes sense because they're in the same division. So look, we'll talk about this kind of football and then maybe the rest of it. Football-wise, not maybe, we will talk about the rest of it. Football-wise, it is an upgrade over Baker Mayfield. No doubt about it. And, you know, he did not play last season. And the last time he played in 2020, he wasn't as good as he was in 2019. But again, he played on a poor football team in the Texans. He's had a year off now. He's better than Baker Mayfield. Even a healthy Baker Mayfield is not Deshaun Watson. And this puts the Browns in a spot to compete to win the AFC North, obviously, with Baltimore and with Cincinnati and whatever skeleton of Pittsburgh is at quarterback. And then obviously in the rest of the AFC, because the AFC now has Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr. That's only one division, right? The North has Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. Now we have Matt Ryan in Indy. We have Ryan Tannehill, of course, as well. We have Josh Allen. We have Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. Who knows what they will be in year two. There's a lot of quarterbacks in National Football League, right? Mac Jones, who went to the playoffs last year. They seem to be all being in the AFC Conference. So it makes the Browns competitive. And they have a very good roster. Good offensive line. Good defense, young superstars. They're going to probably get a wide receiver in the draft, I would imagine, or maybe pick someone else up because they got rid of Jarvis Landry, but they brought in Amari Cooper. They have the pieces there. Football-wise, Gabe, upgrade. But it's yucky. It's gross, right? Because here's the guy. Guys, listen, this is the important part, okay? So there's 22 civil lawsuits out against Deshaun Watson, all right? They tried to indict him. They went in front of a grand jury. The grand jury did not return indictments. That doesn't make someone innocent or not guilty. There's not enough evidence, they determined, to charge Deshaun Watson with a crime. That's all it is, okay? And innocent before proven guilty is a term we use in a court. Not playing for the Browns or playing the NFL, right? Or our jobs, okay? You don't, that reasonable doubt thing that we use for criminal proceedings is not in play here, right? That's not the standard with which a lot of us get jobs, keep jobs, get paid for jobs in any walk of life, because that's not a courtroom, right? So the rest of the NFL can say, you know what? We have these 22 civil lawsuits. We're gonna see how they play out. We're not gonna give you $230 million guaranteed, right? They're allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people agree with the Browns should have done that. Said, okay, if we want to trade for him, sure. We're not going to give you all this guaranteed money. And then on top of that, and again, I'm not saying that he's guilty, innocent, any of that, right? Or he's not. I'm just telling you, this is the way you can operate, right? There's a court of law, and there's also what the NFL is responsible for, right? And mm-hmm. and the way we can look at these cases outside of a courtroom. Not only that, but the Browns gave him a contract that sets up very well for a suspension. So when you are suspended, if you miss games, you don't get paid for those games. The Browns set up his contract, give him a big signing bonus, get paid right away, and then he gets $1 million base salary. Most contracts, by the way, are structured with minimal cap charges early in the contract, and then they grow throughout the deal. This felt very specific to make sure that if he gets suspended, which I think everyone believes he will be, that he gets the least amount of money taken from his paycheck over the suspension. And the Browns claim they vetted Deshaun Watson. They talked to him for 30 minutes. That's what the reporting has said. Did not talk to the accuser's attorneys. Talked to his attorneys, which I get. Look, you're doing some background on his side. I don't know. Doesn't feel that thorough, right, Gabe? And again, No. It's not a courtroom, right? The Browns don't have to, I don't even know how to phrase this here. Like, there's no, like, innocent until proven guilty is not a thing the Browns have to do. That's not the standard they have to meet to sign someone, right? Or it's not a courtroom. So people keep saying that. He basically didn't play football for a year, got paid whatever he got paid in Houston, and then still is in the same spot he was 14 months ago and got $230 million guaranteed. Dude, he can play football. But the NFL, continually makes it a point to, you know, to be the crime and punishment league, right? To punish players for off the field issues that they've run into, to have, you know, to support women, at least face on the face, on their face. They have the breast cancer awareness, all that. But like, I don't know, man, just the it really gave, what got me was a contract structure.
Right.
Like, it just, it was admitting like, yeah, he's going to be suspended for this. We know it, but we're going to sign him anyways. And we're not going to basically make him pay financially for it. That part got me. If they would have just signed, if they would have traded for him and been like, yeah, we're going to play this out, or give him a $230 million deal, but it's actually only going to be guaranteed for 2 years, right? Guaranteed the first 2 years. Okay, fine. But it was like deliberately done because they know he's going to be suspended for this.
Yeah, that part of it did feel worse. And I think we can all agree that the only reason Cleveland is in play for Deshaun Watson is because they were willing to structure it that way, is because that worked for their teams or their morality. I don't know what factors were at play. Like that worked for them, which is why one of the teams we thought we could rule out suddenly became back in play. We can't, in other words, and I'm more or less paraphrasing our buddy Andrew Hawkins here, like you can't separate the non-football from the football in that sense. He's only available to you as a franchise quarterback because you're willing to compromise on that point. So I guess I have a couple questions that are more football focused than the other stuff we might get to. I thought that being away from the game for over a season, let's say he's suspended for the first several games of this year, I was led to believe in other recent controversial topics in the NFL that being away for that long meant you might lose a step or you might not be good anymore, or it was bad for your ability to perform. Why is everyone so positive this guy steps back onto a field after missing a season and a half or more and is just good again?
Well, he's very talented. I mean, that's part of it, right? He's got a lot of physical gifts, dude. And he's played a lot of good football over the years.
There's no question that he can figure his way back into their offense and be good within a couple weeks after he hits the field.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, he's in a very quarterback-friendly offense, right? This is that Shanahan offense that is able to get a lot of. We've seen now, you know, the back-to-back MVP winners. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, all play really well in this offense. Matt Ryan, his MVP season was in this offense, and it's a very quarterback-friendly offense. Even if it takes him, and I think the Browns are telling you he's being suspended for 8 to 10, 12 games, right? I mean, like, I don't know. Unless, if the civil lawsuits go away between now and then, for whatever reason, they settle, they get dropped, whatever it is, okay, maybe there's no punishment. But he's going to be punished, I believe, by the NFL, who's conducting their own investigation, I think. This year, you know, again, they signed Jacoby Brissett to be the backup. I'd imagine that's, again, to play, right? And then so I would expect 2023 is the year. And look, the Browns are, look, here's the thing, Gabe. The Browns are hoping everyone forgets about this, right? He gets suspended, comes back. Yeah, I've seen Browns fans. They're done with the Browns. They're moving on. It's absolutely going to happen. And then by 2023, man, it's been suspended. Cases are dropped. They're over, been settled. And everyone just moves on. Like I just think they just expect in a couple years that this is not a story anymore and we'll just get through this year. And on the backside of that, we have a much better quarterback situation.
Yeah, but it's a long wait, and they gave up 3 first rounders for him, and obviously are letting a recent one overall walk in Baker. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so much to discuss on the non-football part of this story that I feel like most people have been reluctant to talk about. Anytime you give up 3 first round picks and give up the biggest guaranteed money contract in the position's history, and you don't get to play the guy, and he hasn't played in over a year, like, there is some football to unpack there. I just haven't heard anyone doing it yet.
No, well, because rightfully so, the allegations are extensive, right? And it's a big part of the discussion. Again, there's that distinction, as I mentioned, between like what, you know, the court of law and kind of the court of, I don't want to say public opinion, because that's not, that shouldn't drive the Browns' decision. They should come to that their own way. I think, again, 2019, he was really good, right? That was the year they blew that lead in Kansas City in the wild card game, or in the divisional round. 2020 wasn't as good, but the Texans were a dumpster fire. Obviously sat out last year. His best is much better than Baker Mayfield's best. And you're right, Gabe. It might take some time to get up to speed. But we've seen quarterbacks miss a year for injury, and they're fine afterwards. He wasn't injured. He was still working out.
Yeah.
He was training. He was getting ready to play. So I think he will hit the ground running. I think he'll be fine eventually. Maybe not this year again, because he will be suspended at some point. I'm curious how the NFL does this, because the NFL, you know, I'm curious what they do for suspension, because if there's no criminal proceedings going forward, how do they determine that there was enough to suspend him? I don't know.
That's complicated. And they've really boxed themselves in, because, and this will be one of those takes that I mentioned earlier, like, all I keep seeing is people pointing out that the big suspension news of the offseason was Calvin Ridley. And people are already getting upset about whatever the length of a suspension for Deshaun Watson is. When you compare it to Calvin Ridley's, it's going to feel even weirder. The guy's going to miss a full season for allegedly gambling $1,500 when he wasn't even with the team on a ludicrous set of bets. And so people are like, that's a full season, but fill in the blank is all Deshaun Watson gets.
Yeah.
We already know that take is coming.
It's coming.
Do you think that's reasonable?
I mean, it's coming. It's, you know, the there's the Colin Kaepernick take too, which I agree with, mm-hmm. right? I mean, guy was blackballed for taking a knee. He could have obviously been, I've met, argued many times. Was he a starting quarterback? Yeah. Was he an excellent one at the time? No, but we've seen quarterbacks continue to play for years that weren't any good. And then Deshaun Watson gets to play it. You know, what's the saying, right? Your talent outweighs your problems, so your problems outweigh your talent, right? And that's the way the NFL has looked at a lot of these. I think I mentioned this last week, or I don't know, but and somewhere else. But look, however disgusting this is, what I'm about to say, the NFL views gambling on their sport as a bigger integrity issue than what Deshaun Watson is accused of doing. Right? I don't know how else to argue it.
Yeah.
What other argument is there? Because you're exactly right. I mean, they gave Ray Rice a 2-game suspension, and they had seen the video.
Yep.
And I can, but here's the thing, I can also argue the NFL, I mean, I've made this argument before, that the NFL, the punishment should be up to the teams, not the league, in my opinion. Like the league, is it their job to suspend players for off the field, quote unquote, issues? I don't know. I feel like that's the team's job to do. Yeah. They're employees of the team. I don't know. No other profession is like this, right? If you did something, I mean, you're your own boss, but like if you were working at a big company, they would probably not even know about it unless you got arrested. Yeah. But like it's just the NFL punishments, I've kind of just been against the way that they handle it. But you're right. If Ridley gets a year and Deshaun Watson gets 8 games, they're telling you how they feel, and it's not right. But they've set the precedent now for giving players a year for gambling and only 6 games for domestic violence.
Yeah. Let me ask you a difficult question. I would be totally understanding if you said, oh, I don't know, man, I can't guess on that. But here's something I've been thinking about, because obviously we have colleagues and friends who've had really strong reactions to this news. They're upset, and I fully get it. And, you know, it's pretty gross stuff he's accused of doing with. There's a real pattern here. This isn't one or two people, 20 plus people accusing him of stuff that, you know, I guess isn't criminal or hard to prove as criminal, but sure is creepy. That said, my sense, being around some NFL players in my life and just watching sort of the way that NFL teams ultimately embrace guys who can help them win, do you think that guys on the Browns will have any trouble playing with this guy, being friends with this guy, working with this guy? Like the stuff that's bothering so many people in the media, will it bother any player on the Browns? Try to guess.
Oh, yeah, it will bother players on the Browns. The question or not is whether how affects the relationship on the field, right? Because, you know, we're not friends with everyone in the locker room. Like you could just go to work with Deshaun Watson, just like there's people you go to work with that I'm sure you don't like. I mean, we have to work with Hank, and yeah, you have to deal with working with Hank. And look, I think there's going to be players, and there's going to be players, by the way, that are like, hell yeah, you didn't do anything wrong. You know, yeah, come, you know, embrace Deshaun Watson. I was going to be both ends of the spectrum. God, if I was in this spot, man, I don't know. Jeez. I mean, look, I have a job to do, right? I have to go play. I have to play well for me, for my family, for my team, for my contract. I have to hope Deshaun Watson plays well also.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be friends with him. I wouldn't invite him over to the house. I luckily I never had to deal with it. I mean, there was a player, Josh Brown with the Giants, who I didn't know what was happening at the time. It wasn't public till after I left. But I could feel like gross that I had gone out with him and his wife on dates and stuff. And we got a Rangers game together with a big group date. And it's like, looking back on that, it's like, oh, geez. I wouldn't have done that if I had known. Yeah, I don't. I mean, players are not going to like it. Again, some will be like, hey, man, great. You know, great that you beat the system and you're off and they're all making it up. And then the guys like me, though, just like, I got a job to do. I'm going to do my job. Hope he does his job. Probably aren't going to be great friends. We work colleagues just to get through the day and do our job. And that's about it. I've never had that with a quarterback. I'm trying to think of like quarterbacks I've been with.
I know.
Like
it's rare.
Like you, for quarterback and offensive line, I mean, you have to have a relationship. It's hard to not do that. And there was a clip floating around this week of the Michigan defensive end who hurt his Achilles at Pro Day. I don't know if you saw it floating around.
It's going to come up later in the show, but go ahead.
And, you know, there was like a callousness, right? Like he got hurt and everyone was just like, whatever, and move on to the next drill. That's what the way injuries are treated in the NFL. Like, you guys get hurt, just move it along. Because everyone gets hurt and you get so desensitized to it. And the NFL has a lot of great humans, but there's a couple bad apples. It's a couple, guys. It's not a lot. I think we overestimate how many there are. But I think, like, you compartmentalize the injury thing. You just kind of compartmentalize. I can't even say that word right. He might be a terrible human, but again, we're all a job to do. I've never had that come up with a quarterback. Again, I've never had it happen with a teammate. I've had teammates I don't like before, but that didn't mean they're doing anything illegal.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there's two examples. They're not fair to anyone. I'm not comparing the accusations or the crimes or the... Let's get out of that. I'm not moralizing here. Two comparisons I can think of very good players accused of some pretty awful stuff who come back and lead teams. Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Vick. It stands to reason that there were people in the locker room who did not want to play with those guys, at least initially.
Yeah.
They were uncomfortable. But both of them, as I recall, eventually won people over and had success again in the league.
Yeah. Mike Vick went to prison, though. I could understand coming back to the locker room and I'd be like, yeah, you served your time, man. Served your time. Like that, you got caught. You went to prison. You serve as far as we're good, right? Like you're clean. You've done your time. You know, the Ben thing again. I think there's a large majority of players that'll say that the girls are making it up, which is gross and disgusting and ugly and I hate to say that, but I'm sure there are players. I mean, we see the internet, right? Come on, like we see how people talk about this, and they're gonna say that that Ben was innocent or Ben not guilty, whatever term you want to use. It just didn't happen. And same way with Deshaun Watson. They're all making it up. But yeah, you're right. Ben came back. Vic came back. I don't know how the locker room was like when they first came back. But, you know, I would imagine that that's the attitude a lot of players. Or they just compartmentalized it and said, hey, I'm just going to ignore this part of him while I'm at work. And we're just going to work.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful insight into how a player would react. Let's talk for one more beat here about fans, because you're a fan. I'm a fan. I'm going to throw an idea at you, and I'm half joking here, but not really. I think it's time for our society, for people to start to normalize sports divorce. And what I mean by that is, like, it's, you don't owe this team anything any longer. When they stop making you happy as a fan, you get to just walk away. All right, like that's it. If you think, if you're a Browns fan and you think this is unconscionable and you're upset and angry, you have that right. Just pick another team. It doesn't matter if your grandfather was a fan of this team. You don't have to be doing this. And I can tell you this from personal experience as a former Jets fan, not I didn't bail on them because of something like what's going on in Cleveland. I bailed on them because they just suck. It was never fun to watch them. They ruined every Sunday of mine for like a decade. So I'm just not a fan anymore, and I feel better for it. Like, don't you think that we should just get that through our heads now in society? You aren't committed to these people for life. It's not till death do you part.
I've seen plenty of Browns fans do that. They're longtime Browns fans. Some of them are like, this is like, I've been wanting to get out, and this is the opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, it does feel like, you know, maybe it's more, it'd be more normalized moving forward to do that. But, you know, people have spent their entire lives rooting for teams. It's hard just to give it up. And I would imagine there's going to be Browns fans that will no longer support the team. I've seen that. I've read articles about that. I've heard people talk about that. But for everyone who is, you know, dropping their season tickets, someone's ready to take the tickets for them, right? So
maybe, which is why the team doesn't have to
worry
about this.
I'll tell you what, though. If this doesn't work for the Browns, it sets them back a long time, man.
It does.
Especially if, again, the criminal proceedings are over. So I'm not really, it's hard to say he's going to be charged with a crime now. I mean, I don't think you can try to indict him a second time. But if details come out via the civil cases, they go to trial, if I don't know what else would come out. You took that risk, and they know the risk they took, but it's gonna look even worse if they can't if more information comes. I mean, it's already bad now. If more comes out and he doesn't win, yeah.
Well, we don't know when he's gonna win. And also, by the way, the Browns, everyone has complimented you, especially the way that they've built their roster in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a good roster,
but. But these windows are tight, you know, like you only get a couple of years with all those pieces lining up. If they don't have Deshaun Watson helping them to the playoffs this season, let's say he misses too much of the year to help make a run this year, then it's next year. But you also lost a bunch of first round picks. You're going to deal with some injuries and some other free agency issues and just life. Stuff gets in the way. What's to say that 2024, the Browns are still going to be in any kind of position to win, even with Deshaun Watson at his absolute apex? Even if he's the best version of himself, how do we know the Browns are still going to be any good?
I mean, no, there's never a guarantee, but Deshaun Watson gives him a better chance than Baker Mayfield does, which is the most important part about this.
All right. Well, let's use Baker, who we barely talked about, as a segue. He's going to come up in a minute. Let me just give you the news. The quarterback, who we will not name on this show, is being replaced by Matt Ryan on the team that I hate talking about in Indianapolis. These guys go from an irrelevant 9-10, maybe 11-win team to an irrelevant 9-10, 11-win team with Matt Ryan instead of the other guy. Or do you see it differently? Because you were hot on the Colts at one point. I can't get into them.
Yeah, I think Matt Ryan obviously went to Atlanta because the Atlanta – trying to get Deshaun Watson, and Matt Ryan was like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore, which is fine. And I think they realized it was time to have a breakup, and now he's with the Colts. And the Colts at some point have to get a young quarterback, but they keep going. You have Phillip Rivers, and then we'll try to get Carson Wentz, and now they're back to Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan can still play. This reminds me of what Phillip Rivers is for them, right? Like, you're getting 10-11 wins. You know, you win the division, maybe not. Go to playoffs. But think about, again, you're going to get a combination of six of these quarterbacks in the playoffs, right? Mahomes, Wilson, Herbert, Carr, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. You're getting six of those seven in, and then you're getting Matt Ryan in, okay? Right? Mm-hmm. So seven of those eight are getting in probably this year.
All right.
Maybe Mac Jones, nine. Seven of those nine are getting in, okay? Matt Ryan's like the eighth best of those seven or eight or nine. So you're not winning anything more than that. The Colts still have to find themselves a long-term solution at quarterback. I'm happy for Matt Ryan. I like Matt Ryan. He did a lot for Atlanta. I think he's an upgrade over Carson Wentz. He's steady, reliable. He can throw the ball deep. He's not going to lose you the Jacksonville game. You're not going to lose that game with Matt Ryan at quarterback. But it's like Phillip Rivers. You're going to get 10, 11 wins. You win a playoff game or two. I mean, they could have beaten the Bills in that playoff game. That's about it. You're not going to Kansas City and beating the Chiefs. You're not beating Buffalo in Buffalo. in the playoffs, but it gives them hope, right? Because hope is all, you know, the NFL, the minimum. That's what the NFL offers a lot of fan bases, is hope. It gives the Colts hope. Get in the playoffs, right? You just got to get in and anything can happen. So, but again, the Colts have got to find themselves a long-term solution for that position.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then that thus ends the Colts part of this conversation, because we know I don't like it. The dominoes are the interesting part, right? So Matt Ryan was presumed to be on the move. People thought maybe San Francisco because of the Shanahan connection. Like, there were other possibilities. Now Atlanta has a vacancy, so you have to wonder, is Jimmy G going to Atlanta? Is Baker, there he is Baker going to Atlanta? By the time people hear this, we might have even more clarity on some of this. So talk me through some of the dominoes, teams that still need quarterbacks that still need homes. Where do you think this shakes out?
So the Falcons signed Marcus Mariota. They gave him a deal that feels like it's a starting quarterback deal.
Okay. So I don't mind that, by the way.
So two, you mentioned two guys. So the Niners kind of just lost out in the quarterback shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo was thought to be a Falcon possibly, right? A Saint, Tampa Bay possibly, if Brady didn't come back. The Colts, when they traded the quarterback not to be named, who just had a burgundy jacket, like, ready to go. And they just kind of, like, got left behind. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo stays in San Francisco and plays for them this season. I thought the Niners were in play for Matt Ryan, too, which Niners fans did not like. But I thought Kyle Shanahan would take him in a heartbeat. As far as Baker, he kind of stuck, man. Like, I understand that he's a first-round pick, first pick overall, and there is some talent there when he's healthy. But right now, who is he an upgrade over in the long term? So you have this crop of quarterbacks on the rookie contracts, right? And you have these veteran quarterbacks on the second deal. Mm-hmm. Right now in the NFL, who are you? Now, I think he's an upgrade over Wentz possibly, but Washington's not trading Baker Mayfield for Carson Wentz now. Yeah. Right?
Like, I'll give you two Baker homes that you can evaluate.
Okay.
Seattle. You like that one?
Yeah. They don't have a quarterback right now. But okay, but if you're Seattle, why? Like, why? Wouldn't you just want to suck for a year and get yourself CJ Stroud next year?
Maybe. I don't want CJ Stroud, but I could take Baker. Is there a possibility
to sign Bryce Young will probably be the first
sure, it's Bryce. Quarterback taken. So let's go ahead and give Baker a 1-year deal. And if we win,
I think his number this year, I think he's getting like $18 million this year. He has to restructure.
Well, I mean, then he may just be shit out of luck. I mean, honestly, it might just be the musical chairs. The music stopped, and he doesn't have one.
But the Browns have to get rid of him. They cannot carry his salary this year, and they're not going to cut him. So he's got to go somewhere. And that's the question: is like, where is that somewhere? Is it? I mean, Seattle feels like it probably that is one of those somewheres.
But if you're Seattle and you know that the Browns are completely stuck and you give them a bunch of nothing, I mean, what did they give for Matt Ryan? A third rounder or something?
Yeah, the Browns are going to have to just take whatever someone gives them for Baker.
Right. Get the salary off your team, your books. Now he's a Seattle's problem, but they get a year to try him out and see if he can mesh.
Yeah.
If he is good, because he could be good. We don't know that he isn't good. If he's good, you re-sign him. If he isn't, he goes the way of Marcus Mariota, and he's a first-rounder who just kind of wanders the earth.
Who's the other team you had?
Carolina, right in your backyard.
Yeah, they just don't want him, though. They've kind of made that clear.
All right. I've heard a rumor from someone we both like. But good theory here. Can't try to explain it to you, but I know he's thinking it. What about the Giants? Busy up that quarterback room.
Again, you have to give him to restructure his deal. But I think the issue with the Giants is that you got to let Daniel Jones play 1 year and see how he is, right? Like, he has to be your starter this year. And if you bring in Baker, there's always going to be, basically, can we play, you know, should we go play Baker, right? Like, you have to give Daniel Jones this 1 year with Brian Daboll to see what he's got. In my opinion.
Do you think Baker ends up in the, I'm just going to put two guys in a category here that, is he like the Jameis Teddy Bridgewater kind of guy for this year of like, everyone knows he's better than a bench guy. He's not good enough to be a top tier quarterback, but in the right situation, he probably can win you a few games. So maybe you just wait it out, and maybe he ends up actually Baker lands somewhere after some injury and ends up having a pretty nice year on a good team if he's lucky.
Yeah, I think ideally for him, that's what would happen, right? Like someone would get hurt and he would just call the Browns and he would end up, you know, he'd go somewhere and start this year. That's what I feel like would be the best situation for him. I don't know if the Browns are willing to wait that long till someone gets hurt and get ready to, to go somewhere else. But it does feel like the best kind of situation for him, right? Kind of like when Sam Bradford got traded to the Vikings, right? Like you were starting on the Eagles, but you know, you get traded to the Vikings, boom, you're starting right away. I just don't know where that's going to be. And then again, I mean, look, I don't think teams are off of him because of his attitude. I mean, I think there's a little bit of that where it's like, do you want to deal with this guy, you know, as far as his sensitivity, right? I mean, you know, Matt Ryan didn't put out a notes app letter when they were going after Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield was told, and they might go after him by his agent, or they told his agent. So I think if he was good enough, someone would trade for him. I just don't think people think he's that good right now.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask this because I can't go this whole show without getting angry about Tom Brady. No one is fully convinced they know what that guy's going to do in the short term or the long term. Is there any scenario you can imagine where Tom Brady actually is the starting quarterback of some team not named Tampa after a few more of these moves happen? Is there any possibility Brady still ends up in San Fran or
England? No.
You don't think so?
No, you got so all
those
guys.
There's no chance Tampa becomes a job.
No. He brought all those guys back with him. Leonard Fournette signed today. No.
Yeah, because he's never misled anyone or lied. He's never done something that was good for him and bad for other people. So there's no way
he's not going anywhere. That would have happened already.
Okay. All right. Let's move off a very serious topic and a semi-serious topic to a totally idiotic, funny topic. Funny for us at least. I assume you read this Athletic article about Coach Urban Meyer in Jacksonville.
What a treat. What a treat. It confirmed everything we thought of Urban Meyer.
Yeah. So the summary version is Urban Meyer is even more of a jerk than you thought when you thought he was a big jerk. But now there's hilarious quotes attributed to Coach coming out, including one. Who's this 99 guy on the Rams? I'm hearing he might be a problem for us. That's Coach speaking of Aaron Donald, the best player on earth. Lots of stuff in this article that makes Urban Meyer seem like it was an even crazier decision to bring him to the NFL and let him stay in Jacksonville as long as he did. Any other learns from this other than just holy crap?
Hilarity. The learn to me is this was the biggest or the easiest way to tell the difference between a college coach and NFL coach, right? Because a college coach, you're a CEO of a program, right? You're an overseer of the program. You're not doing scouting reports typically. I mean, look, I take that back. You can be a hands-on coach, right? Or you're the CEO of the program, right? Urban very clearly, at the end of his time at Ohio State, was the CEO of the program. He's not doing scouting reports. He's not doing things that require the NFL. The NFL, most NFL coaches are freaking coaching, man. They're coaching, they're scouting, they're evaluating. They're not recruiting. They're not trying to sell themselves to people. They're just trying to win a game each week. And Urban thought this would be college. Mm-hmm. Where to show up, I'm the CEO. They're like, dude, you gotta do some, you gotta work a little bit. Like you're the coach. And I think he thought because he was a good college coach, and he's a Hall of Fame college coach, man. We might not like the guy. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I think he thought it was just going to be easy. That this is, I was good in college. I'm good in the NFL. I can coach. I know how to do it. But it's different. You need a different type of coach, different way of coaching, different responsibilities, different. You're dealing with different people, you're dealing with adults who don't need to be treated like they're 18 years old, that have families, that are grown men, that want some respect from their leader, from their coach. Urban thought that these guys were, you know, 18-year-olds who he could boss around and be gruff with and make rude comments. Not happening in an NFL locker room. It just seemed like even more of a disaster that I think they got Chark to like speak on the record. They got players to speak on the record about this. I believe all of what was in the article, man.
Let me ask you this. If another coach, it's open season on Urban Meyer. Let's just call it what it is. And he brought this on himself. So now guys feel very comfortable crapping all over him because they're sure he's not coming back to the NFL. They all feel safe being on the record, telling these stories. Nobody cares about him. Remember, he's always been this way. And for the longest, nobody wanted to tell these kinds of stories. And still, people in the college game still haven't told some of these types of stories about his time at, you know, Ohio State and Florida. So do you think that other NFL coaches, if they were fired in an embarrassing way and flamed out the way that he has, would we hear all these types of stories come out about other guys, or is he truly one of a kind? Have you ever heard this type of crap before?
I mean, remember when Doug Peterson was let go of Philly, there was articles about him, but it was not really about like personal attack. Like, this felt very personal, right? Like, I'm out to smear Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
We don't see that, I think, very often with NFL coaches. There's obviously like, you know, behind the scenes of like, okay, this coach did this bad and that, blah, blah, blah. But this is like a very personal article.
But I'm asking, do you think that this behavior is truly one of a kind, or are there other coaches who are walking around making like snotty comments to their players and being mean to people?
There certainly are coaches doing that, but normally it's not the head coach who's doing it. And normally, not normally, but you know, typically you can get a little respect from the players first before you start talking like that. I feel like Urban came in there and just immediately started talking like he was the best NFL coach ever, which NFL players, you look at everything, right? Show us you can do it. Just should be respect between us. Again, we're also adults, man. Like, I'm 30 with a kid. You can't talk to me like that.
Yep. I've only had one interaction with the guy, and my walk away was, you can't talk to me that way.
Really? He talked to you that way?
Yeah, I won't get into it here. I'll tell you
but
later,
I'm saying, right? Wow, okay.
Yeah, no, not zero part of this surprised me because I was like, what the hell? Like, that's how that guy wants to talk to me? That's weird. Let me bring up, though, he tried some crazy stuff. He had one interesting idea that I want to see if maybe we could institute here. As we know, he gave Tim Tebow a tryout. He brought him in there to try to turn him into a tight end. Apparently, he had weekly Tebow Tuesdays. And every player was asked to wear an 85 jersey in honor of Tim Tebow.
Hank is baiting you.
Yeah, it's all true.
This is a PFT tweet. Yeah. PFT tweeted out. It was incredible. PFT said that he did Tebow Tuesday, and then he said in the thing, the last straw was Urban tried to require players to sign mandatory competitive chastity pledges where the players swore to abstain from all sexual activity between December and May to avoid possible missed games due to the impending birth of a child.
Yep.
PFT is funny, man. He is very witty. I'm not nearly as witty. Good for him.
Well, he fooled a lot of people with that one. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll move the line and we'll do a few more things to talk about around the league.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Jeff, we're back. Time to move the line. A little over-under game we like to play to hit a few more headlines. I'm going to phrase these in the form of an over-under bet, but just talk about the names I say. My Rams added Allen Robinson. My Chargers added Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson. Over under 75% chance an LA team is making the Super Bowl again.
So now you're Rams fan all of a sudden.
Yeah, I live in LA. We covered this. I divorced the Jets. I'm out there dating right now. I'm going out with anyone who wants to swipe.
I will say though that you have gone less hard into embracing Los Angeles sports teams as your boy Colin has, who just tweeted today, by the way. Lincoln Riley's first practice today, goosebumps. He knows I'm on speed dial if he needs me. I mean, that is hard. That's harder than you go for the Chargers and Rams.
Colin has been going hard for SC football for a lot longer than I have been going hard for the Chargers.
I'm sure his Washington Husky fandom is wearing off. I just laugh every time I see that. It's fun. Because I hope Oregon and USC will have a little banter with me and Colin one day. Rams probably aren't making the Super Bowl next year, even though the NFC, I mean, Stafford's like the third best quarterback in the NFC, maybe second best. Chargers, I got to see the Chargers not be the Chargers for a little bit. Like, they're still the Chargers, Gabe. Like, come on, I got to see a little bit different. So they'll both make the playoffs. Super Bowl, I would say no.
It seems to me the Chargers have done a very good job in offseason moves.
Get a right tackle in the draft, set.
If they get a right, yeah. I mean, they got a hell of a pick last year at the left side. If they go right side, they've improved their defense considerably in those two big names I mentioned. The Allen Robinson thing, does that matter? He was great a few years ago, and then he just didn't seem to want to be in Chicago. Could he make a big difference for the Rams?
Heck yeah, he can. He's a really good player. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's I don't know why we're so sure. That,
but
like, they should be the favorite. I don't quite understand why people are out on the Rams.
There's a quarterback and a team in the south of Florida that I think have something to say about that. So
they beat him.
I know. No, the Rams, look, Whitworth is gone. Obviously, Note Bloom is there to play left tackle. He played well last year. We'll see how he does. I just think it's really hard to repeat, man. I mean, no one's repeated since what? The 2003-04 Patriots? Hard to do.
Yeah, it's not easy to do. All right, listen, last offseason, Patrick Mahomes' $500 million deal seemed insanely high. And then now, with some of the deals that we've seen come along, including Matt Stafford and obviously the Deshaun deal, which has other wrinkles to it, suddenly Patrick Mahomes is not actually feeling as overpaid as he felt a year or two ago. So I'm curious, like, how many seasons before we're describing Patrick Mahomes as a bargain or underpaid? I'll say over under 3.5 seasons.
Oh, it's coming up because, Burrow's going to get more than him, right? Lamar Jackson will get more than him. Herbert will get more than him. Yeah, it's going to happen like soon, like in a year.
A year, so you're going under 3.5.
Well, Herbert and Burrow are going to get paid next offseason after the third years. Lamar's going to get paid soon, I'd imagine. And they're all going to make more than – Rodgers made more already. Watson has more already. Those three are going to have more. It's going to happen. Kyler Murray's going to get paid, I would imagine, at some point.
Yeah. Damn. Well, I mean, then I guess good on Pat for getting that much money. And then, yeah, it might not feel like as much when all those guys, none of those guys were as good as him. So we'll have to see.
But good for them. They can get it.
Yeah. All right. The Bengals, you mentioned Burrow. The thing he needed was some line help. So they got Lyle Collins. And improved their O line so far this offseason. Signing. Yeah, so over under 40.5 sacks next season for Joe Burrow.
I would say under. They got Lyle and they got Ted Karras and Alex Kappa. Lyle is a big deal. Lyle is was cut by the Cowboys, and then what I'm most excited about Lyle being there is he's a protector, man. Like, he will go after other defensive players who touch Burrow. Like, he's a good offensive lineman to have on your team. And I think that this is a home run signing for the Bengals. The Bengals, though, look, I know there's going to be excitement about them, but they have a first place schedule now, which they did not have last year. They had a very easy pass defense schedule. They're going to be good, but I just think we got to hold off on, like, the repeat back to Super Bowl thing with the Bengals. But their offensive line is much improved, under 40.5 sacks.
Under 40.5, because they were at 51 last year, and then it was like every other play in the postseason.
No, they'll be, yeah, it was a lot, obviously, in the Super Bowl. I think they'll be under that. Yeah, their offensive line, they did a good job addressing their issues this offseason. Really good job.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned this guy earlier. I'm sorry in advance for mispronouncing this young man's name. David Ojabo was injured at his pro day at Michigan. It was really ugly. And what was uglier was just the total lack of empathy. No scout, no coach, no adult standing around evaluating this guy's skill seemed to even flinch when he went down in a heap of pain. And it felt really gross, and a lot of people on Twitter instantly shared a similar sentiment. Jeff, you know, I kind of obviously had the same reaction, but then I start to think, wait, I have access to this guy who can make me a little smarter. Maybe there's an explanation here. Maybe there's a protocol. Maybe there's a reason all these guys didn't jump up and try to help.
Yeah, because it's not their job. It's a trainer's job to go over to see him.
Okay, so I'm not saying you're going to be cold.
And there are pictures of them going over after the trainers start doing their job.
Okay, so do you think it wasn't quite as bad as our first reaction to short video?
Look, definitely it felt callous, right? Like no one rushed over to him. And I mentioned earlier, like injuries are part of the sport. You get desensitized to injuries. No one knew. It could have been an ankle, a toe, a blown Achilles, which it was, a foot, a knee. These scouts are not good enough. That's not their job. Not even good enough. It's not their job to diagnose what his injury is. It's the trainer's job. And there are pictures later of everyone crowd around him once the trainers get out there. And would I have loved to see scouts run over and see, hey, yes, of course I would. Do they care about him? Of course they don't want him to get hurt. But in the NFL, we say move the drill. Guy gets hurt, they just turn the field around, go the other direction. Just leave him on the ground. This is what the sport is. You might not like it. I don't like it. I wish it was more, you know, more personal, but that's, and again, they didn't go out there because that's not their job. That's the trainer's job. Athletic trainer's job. What is a scout going to do out there? Hey, athletic trainer, he's hurt. Come over here. Like, you know, they're not going to do anything in that moment.
Yeah. I can't argue with anything you just said. And I think it's silly to react too harshly to anything you see on Twitter, but it did come at a weird time. Right. I think people were consuming that clip at a similar time that they were consuming this Deshaun Watson news.
Yeah.
And it just feels like the fans and many of the players are not really thought of as humans, and for better and for worse.
I totally see that.
Yeah. And it just left people with an icky feeling. Here's a human who has responded directly to you before. So the Chiefs signed Juju Smith-Schuster to be their whatever, second, third, fourth receiving option, who knows. And then your boy, Mecole Hardman, was left off a graphic about all the weapons that Pat Mahomes has now and sort of quote tweeted it, it's okay, I understand, sort of a joke about being left off. So I guess, do you need to tweet about him to him like a little bit of a pep talk?
I'm his motivational speaker, right? He ended up needing to post about me. A comment I made about Horn. I need to call him up, man. We need to get back. We need to get our sessions going again. Whatever. He's not going to get respect till he leaves the Chiefs. Put it like that.
Well, I would think on another team where Tyreek Hill is not an option, most teams would be thrilled to have a guy like Mecole Hardman.
Yeah,
I would think. So maybe it is time for him to go.
And when he's not, and again, when he leaves the Chiefs, then he will find out about whether or not teams respect him by the contract he gets.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so over under 1 hour until you give him a shout and to hype him up.
We need to have a therapy session. We're going to do a Zoom. That's what everyone does now. We're going to get on Zoom and we're going to talk it out, give him a pump up speech, and he'll be ready to play this season. Otherwise, I just don't know if he can play this year.
Laying on the sarcasm pretty thick. Jeff, I want to ask you about you now. You shared a picture on Twitter of your golf pants being split in the butt.
Yeah.
I want to know over under 12 and a half holes before the tear happened and over under 5.5 holes you walked with a torn ass.
So it wasn't on the golf course. I was filming this show. I'm excited. I'll tell you guys about it. Sure. I can't say anything about it yet. I was filming this show. I was wearing these golf shorts. And I sat down about like into like hour 7 of being on my feet for that day. And there was a little tear, like a little bit of a crotch tear. And I was like, oh boy, this is not good. And these are, they fit fine. It was like I was fat. I don't know why they tore. And then I got back to the hotel room. I sat, like, I kind of like was tired, like plopped down the couch, like boom, and just went, like the whole thing just ripped top of the ass all the way underneath.
Yeah.
Split in half. I got to buy some more. I might go online right now and find some. That was it, man. That's the end of my shorts. Was not playing golf though.
Okay. Well, how far would you walk on a course with shorts torn in half if you were faced with a situation like that?
The rest of the time?
You just play with your ass hanging out of your pants?
Yeah. Why not? Okay. I'm wearing stuff underneath.
Okay. I don't know. I probably would. It just depends how I was playing. If I wasn't playing well, I think I'm done. I think I'd just pack it in right there.
Oh, no. I would have just kept... I mean, it depends. Yeah, I guess it depends on what you're playing. But no, I was... here they are right here. I found some pants some in my size. I'm gonna go buy me some more golf shorts. I have no shame, man. I don't care. Don't bother me.
You shared a picture also recently... of the golf course you were playing at, and it looked pretty barren. Not a lot of trees.
No, it has a ton of. It's wide open. It's a public course. It's my like home course. It's the one I play the most. It's cheap, big old fairways. That has the Bermuda that hasn't kind of bloomed yet.
Look so good. It looked like you could use some rainfall.
No, the Bermuda's fine. No, we have enough rain. The greens and tee boxes were overseeded. They were green. But the Bermuda wasn't. So you have to play with bright colored balls because you can't see the ball, a white ball you can't see in the Bermuda. So like I had like pink balls and I have bright orange balls to play with this time of year. I'm going Friday. I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay. Well, we're all standing by. Jeff, here's a goal for you. Before we get back into football mode, I would like to play 9 holes with you, maybe 12 max. I don't like to do more than 12.
You want to go to what's that spot in Century City?
No, Rancho, sure.
Rancho.
We could go to Rancho or we could go to Penmar.
I could do Penmar, yeah.
Let's get to one of the little public dog tracks here in LA when you're out here next.
And, let's do it.
We'll figure out the right handicap. I think I'm probably giving you some strokes.
I don't care about that.
Well, yeah, I want to have a fair bet.
My handicap is like 40. I broke it 100 like twice.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to give you some strokes. But... then we can bet, which is something you love to do. So
I love the wager.
That'll be a way to play golf.
It's been a rough tournament so far. I'm hoping to turn around. My wagers are at Jeff Schwartz on Twitter. Man, some of these people that cover gambling, man, just they're bad on Twitter. It is what it is. All right. Sorry, a little tiny riff at the end of that. Please rate, review, subscribe. Powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. I know it was a heavy episode. Hopefully next week. Not as heavy. We count down to the draft. Hopefully some more free agency stuff as well. We'll start kind of building out, you know, what these teams are going to look like for 2022. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great week, everyone. Take care.